The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 7 minutes past 10 o'clock in the studio today. A couple of members of the Huron County CAN Council will be talking about that. We have Elizabeth Hurd, Vice President of the CAN Council, and Shannon Hessling. She's a board member and on the RoofSit Committee, which is coming up quick, so we're going to be talking about that as well. Thanks for being with us, ladies.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Give us a little background. We've had done shows on the CAN Council in the past, but for those who may have missed it, what is the Huron County CAN Council? What does CAN stand for?
The Huron County Child Abuse and Neglect Council. That's what CAN stands for. And Children's Trust Fund of Michigan, also known as CTF, is a Michigan chapter of Prevent Child Abuse America. And the CAN Councils in Michigan are grantees of the Children's Trust Fund of Michigan.
So each county has one?
Well, most counties most do. Counties there do. Are
73 counties have
73
them.
Counties representing 73 CAN Councils representing 83 counties in Michigan.
Some of them up in the UP maybe
there are, yeah.
Probably yep. Gone together because it's just
right.
Numbers aren't
smaller numbers, correct. Yep.
And basically you raise money to support programs that help prevent child abuse.
Exactly.
If I got it right?
Child abuse and neglect, correct.
Mm-hmm. And, do you run your own programs? Do you bring some to the area? Do you find the ones locally? Do they need to come to you? How does all of that work?
Both, actually. We find programs to bring to the area, and then there are people in the area who bring programs to us to support. So we do
both. And obviously, you just help support. I don't think you fund anything fully. You're more of a...
No, we do have some programs that we fund fully. Usually the ones that we find and bring to the community.
Because I think if somebody's bringing it to you, you're hoping that they already have at least some support.
Some funding, right. That's true.
How long has the CAN Council been around? Is this something
the Children's Trust Fund of Michigan started in 1982. Our specific CAN Council, I think, was formed in the mid-80s. Obviously, we've been around for at least 17 years because this is our 17th annual roof sit. But I've been having a hard time trying to nail down the exact date, but it's in the mid-80s is when the Huron County CAN Council started.
Now, you mentioned the Children's Trust Fund, and it is getting to be tax time. Is that still on your tax forms that you can make a donation to this?
It is, and you can also purchase license plates, you know, that will show the Children's Trust Fund of Michigan. I think it's $10 more or something like that.
Now, those funds go into the state kitty, and then they are divvied up between the 70-some that represent the 83 counties.
Right. That's right.
Whereas your local fundraising efforts, they
stay right
local.
In Huron County. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And... what kind of programs do we have in Huron County? Would people be surprised how many there are actually out there?
I think they would, yeah. We do, in our schools, we do Talking About Touching. We have...
And is that something that, you know, is touchy? For lack of a better way of putting it. I mean, you know, sometimes parents might think their kids aren't really old enough to understand and all of that stuff, and it's got to be age appropriate.
Well, we feel it's important for children to know how to protect themselves and how to tell. And Talking About Touching does that in an age appropriate way to our kindergartners and third graders. Huron County is actually kind of ahead of other counties, I think, because Aaron's Law was just passed last month, which makes it easier for schools to bring a curriculum to children about this particular issue about child sexual abuse. And Huron County's been doing it for years and years. And we just changed from the Babylonian Encounter to the Talking About Touching last year. And the feedback has been really, really well received, so.
And you talked about child sexual abuse, but there are many other forms of abuse that is out there. And we kind of focus on the one, mm-hmm. and maybe we're not looking out for the others that we should be seeing.
Physical, emotional.
Physical doesn't always have physical scars you can see, though.
That's true. And emotional definitely doesn't, but they stay with you forever.
And then there's also the neglect aspect of it all, too. Neglectful of the environment of the children, of the environment that the children live in, and neglectful of the children themselves.
Mm-hmm. Medical neglect. There's all kinds of neglect.
And are there, I imagine if it's got to go to a state agency maybe for prosecution or to help the child, there's got to be definitions of this.
Sure.
So I assume somebody somewhere in Lansing somewhere has actually done this, has come up with what is what's the threshold or what elements have to be there.
That's right. Yeah, there would be a criteria that the DHS goes by to decide, you know, what defines that type of neglect or abuse. So,
would people maybe be surprised what is considered abuse, and especially neglect? I mean, a lot of people, you know, learned their child raising skills from their child raising when they were growing up.
That's true.
And it may have been a learned pattern that, you know, they don't see it as abuse.
That's why education is so important. You know, we do what we learn, and when you know better, you do better. So that's why I believe education is key. We have to be out there filling people in, making them aware, and teaching them.
And where really is the best place to start? Is it with a new mother? So she knows right from the beginning, you know, what she's not supposed to do and what she's supposed to be watching out for.
Well, I don't know how to answer that as far as, I mean, I have my own personal opinions, but
We
have the Period of Purple Crying video that we distribute to new mothers, new parents in the hospital, which is a program that defines baby patterns of crying, and that is to prevent shaken baby syndrome, which is really,
yeah, we hear about
really
cases
prevalent.
And it's
yeah,
sad.
Really prevalent. So, starting early, definitely, you know.
And then the CAN Council also funds my program, which is partially funds my program, the Family Mentor Program, which is a prevention program for families at risk of child abuse and neglect ages 0 to 5 in the home, where I'm going into the home on an intense basis, working with these families, and that is where we often see the generational, working with the generational families that have those patterns of abuse or neglect already into their system. So it's providing that education to them and trying to get them to either break old habits or learn new ideas
ways,
things to do with the family together.
And I would imagine in most all of these programs, there's a lot of confidentiality because
absolutely.
It is a subject that, you know,
100%.
Pushes a lot of people's buttons and, you know, people don't want their neighbors, you know. Mm-hmm. And it may just be that you learned it wrong. It isn't that you're
trying to.
But the stigma could come across, and there needs to be that privacy in there, that confidentiality.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Now, how's the CAN Council set up? You have a board? You have?
Yes, we do. We have 16 board members. We have general members as well, parents, caregivers.
Basically, anyone who's interested
anybody,
in helping?
Anybody. And we encourage anybody to get involved in the CAN Council. You can come to our board meetings. You can sit on committees. We welcome ideas and experience.
And do you just volunteer? I mean,
do you just... It is all volunteer.
Is there you know, a membership fee when you come in and all that stuff? Because you're trying to do fundraising all
an
the
annual,
time. I would think,
right.
that, I would think that would be one of the best ways to start.
Yeah, and members pay $20 annually to be a member of the CAN Council, board members and general members. I forgot where I was going with that.
And then we also have meetings quarterly where all the board members, general members are able to attend. We do quarterly meetings. There's an executive committee that's kind of behind the scenes, gets, you know, make sure all the ducks are in a row before the meetings and handles whatever else that might come up. And then on top of that, there's also the committee meetings where they, each board member, and are the general members a part of that too?
They can be, yes. Mm-hmm. But the board members choose which committees they want to sit on. We have prevention, publicity, membership, and fundraising. And all the board members are involved in one or more of the committees that meet quarterly as well, sometimes more than that. But
a lot of those things overlap in certain ways.
That's right.
Which
exactly.
Helps
like fundraising and publicity. And
yes.
Yeah. 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 That does Shannon and I working together a lot. Yep.
And how much time does a person really need to devote to this to make a difference? Because, you know,
you
hear people, they volunteer and it looks good on a resume,
yeah,
you know, and they volunteer for everything, but they're not really
involved
in anything.
Correct, yeah. Well, I say as little as much as you want or are able to, you know, because we do welcome everybody. But, of course, the more you can be involved, the better for the kids, mm-hmm. you know, for the kids of Huron County and families.
Is this a hard thing to gauge, you know, how much impact you're having? Because, you know, most places where the state or whoever gives money out to, they want, you know, result basis.
Well, yes.
And you know, this is kind of a hard thing to say, you know, well, we prevented so many, because you don't know how many you actually could have prevented. All you know is how much effort you put out to make
right,
sure
right.
you prevented
right.
as much as
well,
you could.
Well, we do report to CTF quarterly, mm-hmm. and we do track on our own our programs and what impact they're having, you know, specifically like talking about touching. And there's a paperwork that we have the teachers fill out, you know, to give us some idea of how many
evaluation.
Children and, you know, an evaluation, yeah. So we do have some idea by tracking ourselves and then reporting to CTF, and they have the statewide numbers
right.
on that.
Yeah, and then the state of Michigan also does their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then they send out something called the kids count data, and mm-hmm. we receive that quite often, at least yearly.
Yeah, that's a huge report.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that gives us a specific state of Michigan and Huron County numbers. It mm-hmm. breaks it down by county.
All counties, yeah.
And so we can actually see specifically for our county where our number's at and how they've changed over the years.
And that will give us a better idea of what types of programs we want to bring to the community, too, based on what we see a need for.
Because our rural area may be far different than what they'd need in an urban Detroit
exactly.
area.
Exactly, exactly.
Because the population's different, the culture's different.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's right.
If people suspect abuse, what do they have to do? What do they need to do? I mean, how do you report this? Do you contact the police?
Well, if a child is in immediate danger, you absolutely want to call police. But if you suspect abuse, you think something's going on, and you think there needs to be an investigation, you definitely want to call CPS, which is now a statewide number, a state call center
it's
that you call. It's changed.
Type of number mm-hmm. that's toll-free yeah. that you can do for that.
Yeah, and I have the number here if you are ever interested in using it. It's 855-444-3911.
Anytime, day or night.
And they get the ball rolling.
Right.
They contact the agency in that
area.
County and area, and then
exactly.
it gets going.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a quick turnover? These things sound like something you can't wait for. Do they try to, you know, oh my gosh, it's 5 o'clock Friday, you know, geez, do we start Monday at 9 or do we do it now? Do they try to get things rolling, or is that on a case-by-case basis depending on what's being reported?
They actually have a time frame also. I believe it's 24 hours to respond to the referral.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure if it's a set 24 hours, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I know that as mandated reporters, people in the community, doctors, nurses, teachers, healthcare workers, if they suspect child abuse and neglect, even suspect it,
They must report
mm-hmm. it, and they must report it immediately.
Timely, yep.
Or within the 24 hours also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned those who have to report. These are doctors, nurses, mm-hmm. teachers, anybody mm-hmm. else that we think of? I know police and that, they would do that because that's crime.
Right.
But, I mean, does this go on to pastors? Does this go
well,
on to
list,
anyone who
the
could
the list
actually
is pretty long, but it's physicians, dentists, physician assistant, registered dental hygienist, medical examiner, nurse, person licensed to provide emergency medical care, audiologist, psychologist, marriage and family therapists, licensed professional counselors, certified social workers, social worker technicians, school administrator, school counselor, teacher, law enforcement officer, member of the clergy, or a regulated child care provider. So it's a pretty long list of people who must report. But the CAN
Council, they figure these are people that may, you know, see the signs.
Come,
you know,
in contact,
whether
right.
Whether it's physical
most.
Bruises the doctors could see during examination.
Mm-hmm.
The others may see it in different fashions, how the kid acts in school, or,
right.
or they're showing misbehaving signs that would say
right.
they learned that through abuse, it might
mm-hmm.
trigger, you know, something's going on here. And just because it's reported doesn't mean it's happening. People shouldn't worry about, you know,
right.
a stigma behind it. Make sure it's checked out, and if there's nothing to it, then there's nothing to it.
But
and,
better
and
safe than sorry. I mean, you don't, at the expense of a child, I mean, you want to report. If you feel something's going on, you're probably right. So you need to report it.
And many times there's more than one child in the household. You may only be seeing the one.
Mm-hmm.
And there,
that's
you
right.
may be helping more than one
that's
by
right.
reporting that.
Mm-hmm. And the CAN Council offers free mandated reporter trainings to everybody.
I
so,
think you had one just a
yep,
just, few days ago.
Yep, we
so.
Did. Mm-hmm. So that's something available.
And basically you tell people what they really should be looking for, or is this
signs and symptoms of abuse, what to look for, how to report, who to report to.
And is it sometimes not necessarily the child they see? I mean, if you see the adult and they're talking like, what are you doing to your kids? I mean, this is also possible abuse that you could be reporting on too.
It is, but that's where it gets a little...
a proverbial gray area?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, we can all see things where we question, wow, you know, what is out in public, what is the child experiencing at home? But that's a hard call to make.
Yeah, but that goes back to then if you suspect any abuse,
right,
report it.
Right, because they can do an investigation and find out one way or the other.
It sounds like most of the abuse you can report, though, is basically if you know who the person is.
I mean, no.
You see something out in the field, you know, or you know, in one of the stores or something going on, it's like, you know, I don't know these people from Adam. How am I going to report them? I don't know where I'd send people.
I think in an instance like that, and this is just my personal own thinking, if I were to see something like that in public, say in a store, I think I would follow the person out to the car and get their license plate number, if nothing else. I mean, if I thought it was that serious that it should be reported, I would at least get the license plate number. The state can take it from there and find out who they are.
You're a brave person. Other people worry they get out in the parking lot, this person might turn on them.
Well, I tell you what...
they're willing to do it in public already, you know.
And I understand that. And I may have felt that years ago, but my motivation for becoming involved in advocacy and even on the CAN Council is because I lost a grandchild to abuse and neglect in 2007. So to me, not on my watch. If I see something, I'm going to report it. I'm going to step in before I report it. So that's just my own personal experience. But to me, it's worth it.
And this is obvious stuff because some of this is quasi and, you know, we don't know the legal definitions and, and maybe you're overstepping your bounds.
But like I say, better safe than sorry for that child because you just don't, you don't know.
I'm just playing devil's advocate
here. I
want all kids to be protected. I'm not trying
to stop
that.
And that's how I feel. Right. So that to me, it's just better safe than sorry. Do what you can. We're all responsible for all of our children. They're all our children.
If you're afraid of the person or big and boisterous, do you like report it to the store manager or something?
Call the police. Call the police for backup.
Most people have the phone in their pocket
these
days.
That's right. That's right. Take pictures.
Ooh,
document.
Evidence.
That's right.
She is a brave soul. You could end up with that phone in 1,000 pieces.
Better me than the child. That's how I look at it these days.
You have the Roof Sit coming up. I understand that's your biggie, your big fundraiser of the year.
Our largest fundraiser of the year, yep.
And you actually expect to get money just sitting around?
On the roof in the cold. Well, it's our 17th annual Roof Sit this year, and it's going to be held on Friday, February 1st at McDonald's Food and Family. So far, we have 19 teams registered. What they do is they, ahead of time, they collect donations, they do fundraisers. Usually, it's some sort of business or agency that is signed up to do it. So they get a lot of people involved and do their fundraising. And then the day of the event is basically a public awareness kind of thing. They do bring some of the monies on that day, but they do have until the end of February to turn in all the money. But on the day of the Roof Sit, they come, they have an assigned time that they do, and they come in for an hour. Some are brave enough to go stand on the roof in the freezing cold. Hopefully it's a little warmer than this week.
I hope so.
And then they come for about an hour. There's also different things that they can do. There's a table out front where they do hot chocolate and coffee, and that's for a donation. There's a table inside, which is an information booth, where we like to have people just giving out our information basic on CAN Council. Our display board will be there, stickers for the kids, coloring pages, kinds of things. And then in the back of the store, there'll be a soup station where, again, for a donation, people can buy some bean and ham soup. And
for there or to go.
Yep. And they can take it to go if they'd like. There's to-go containers. And each team comes for an hour. And we're still looking for some teams if anybody's interested.
Right.
We'd be happy to have anybody. Like I said, we have 19 teams so far, which is great. Last year we had 20, and we're actually thinking we have 20, but it's not a confirmed 20 yet.
Yep. You can find the registration form for team registration on our website, which is huroncountycancouncil.org, or you can call our council number, just 989-550-6261, mm-hmm. which you may want to do because it would be quicker, since we're only about a week away now.
Right.
And how much funds does this raise? I mean, it sounds like, you know, 20 teams. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, our goal this year is 13,000. Last year we raised just about that at 12,008, I believe.
12,400.
12,004. And that's our goal this year is 13,000. Like I said, it's the biggest fundraiser for us for the year. So we count on a lot of those funds to keep the programs that we support in Huron County.
It sounds like you must be very frugal and cost-effective in the programs you fund and that you bring to the area, because in this day and age, $13,000 doesn't sound like it goes a whole, mm-hmm. but if you've got volunteers and if you're just looking for supplies and stuff that you need, maybe it stretches farther than
exactly.
most of us would think.
A lot of people donate in kind services and you know, paper and, you know, things like that nature, so it is, we do need that.
Yeah. And this is our biggest fundraiser, but we also have multiple fundraisers throughout the year also that we do. We do a golf outing in the mm-hmm. summer. We have a Key North Family Day event that we do.
Which is fun. Yeah, that's
Pizza Hut tip nights mm-hmm. Where the board members or general members or volunteers actually
serve the pizza.
Yep, and take all the tip money and they donate right back to the council. So there are multiple fundraisers that we do throughout the year, although this is our largest.
Mm-hmm.
Are they good hosts and hostesses, or do they not generate the tips they should?
No, actually, it was really, really, really well this year. We did good. We did real good.
And do the teams, like, try to outdo one another? Is there any competition between teams?
Competition, nothing official,
you
know.
Do you recognize the team that brings in the most?
We do, we do. And they'll have their picture in the paper,
Yep, and there even
the winners.
There are some teams that are on here that are on our list on our team schedule that they're from the same business or school or organization, but they have so many people that want to help that they take up two time slots. So I think they even do an inner business or inner school kind of competition between themselves,
right.
which is wonderful too for us.
Yeah, it makes a lot of fun.
Yep.
Great. Again, it's coming up on the 1st, and all you have to do really is go to McDonald's Food and Family Center, look up on the roof. And
mm-hmm. Between 8 and 5.
8 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much daylight hours.
Yes.
You don't want them on the roof after dark.
Right.
Because <No. laughs> then the police come and they try and take them away. And if people want more information, all of that's on your website?
Yes, it is. Everything's on the website, HuronCountyCanCouncil.org.
I imagine you Google Huron County Can and mm-hmm. it
probably would come right up.
Get you right up there.
Exactly.
And I do want to say thank you also to McDonald's Food and Family for their generous support of the Can Council. They are wonderful hosts for us.
Every year. They're so wonderful.
Yes.
They really are.
Donating the soup and, you know, and the supplies and mm-hmm. the time and the facility and mm-hmm. and their employees.
We couldn't
go out
do it
of their
without
way.
Them. That's for sure.
And I'm sure they want to thank all the people who go up on the roof not wearing golf shoes.
Yeah.
Well, it's good for the ice, you know. But it goes right through the membrane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish you a good turnout and let us know how it happens, how it goes. And we're going to be there. We're going to have reports through the day
mm-hmm.
as to how well you're doing and hopefully get more people interested to stop on out, make a donation, and crick their neck up and see who's up on the roof.
Yep, come out and support your favorite team.
Yes.
Is the list of who's going to be up there going to be on your website? So if they know somebody, they can say, well, I want to be there for that hour when I can.
You know, I don't know, but that's a good
there.
Idea. We also have a Facebook page, so I'm sure we could post it there as well.
Yeah,
so
well there. Mm-hmm. Facebook, yep. Huron County Can Council
just
on Facebook.
I think it's just Can Council, isn't it? Or Huron County? I'm not sure how it's worded, but yeah, look for Huron County Can Council, and I'm sure you can find it on Facebook.
It just seems like if you know somebody on one of those teams and you want to, you know,
exactly.
The whole point is to be there to have somebody there to razz a little
bit. No throwing snowballs.
Yeah, no snowballs, please. We're already cold enough.
Well, again, I thank you for stopping out and all the good work you do. I wish you well on the 1st, and I hope you get more than that 13,000 you're looking for.
Thank you.
Help a lot of kids in the
area.
Find a better life in the area and. Hopefully get them on the path so that their kids don't have to go
through
the same thing.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Our guests today on the program have been Elizabeth Hurd, the Vice President of the CAN Council, and Shannon Hessling. She's a board member and member of the Roof Sit Committee. The Roof Sit, again, is a week from Friday, February the 1st, McDonald's Food and Family Center, 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Stop on out. you're going to have some bean soup, some hot chocolate you can donate to help the cause, and again, see a lot of your neighbors and friends, for some reason, up on a roof.
Freezing.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Stay tuned.